concerning the issues of life, liberty, and justice, and their impact on individuals, culture, society in America, and around the world, this is The Truth Spoken in Love with your host, Myra Jean. Myra will discuss heartfelt topics facing our nation and our world today as only Myra can. So please welcome the host of The Truth Spoken in Love, Myra Jean.
We are live. Sorry to be late, complication, but the truth is spoken in love here. And that is love for all, okay? And I met somebody in Japan, and she said this is what brought her to the realization that there was a creator, and she wanted to know who he was. Here is, says God's word, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows his handiwork. And in Luke, describes through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the rising sun from heaven shall come to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. If you go to Isaiah, when he speaks of the only I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Listen, look unto me, and be you saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. For God so loved you and me that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. We need a Savior to bring us out of darkness, to bring us to life. For God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we should live through him. And I was going to share two incidents, life-changing, from the book of John. But first, I came across a magazine I had, February 2019, and I had not read the articles until last week on a number of things that impact people, their lives, whether they are in darkness and in the shadow of death. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I'm going to share the testimony of someone recently. So I'd say maybe 25 years ago, he came to know the only Lord God and Savior. And here might be, I'll share his picture. His family is from a Middle Eastern country. And here's his story. A former Muslim's journey to Christ. I am quoting him, his testimony, his article. I was born in Houston and grew up in a devout Muslim home. My dad was very involved in the Iranian Muslim community. When I was 2 years old, my family moved to Iran, where my parents are from. But when I was 6, the Islamic Revolution of the late 70s hit that country. My father, who was a doctor, had the means to get us out of the country, so we moved back to Houston. I object here that two of my best friends live in Houston. Growing up, I was taught the five pillars of Islam and told that if I did them to the best of my ability, then maybe I'd get to heaven. I spoke Farsi, not English. So God, in his incredible plan, provided a Christian lady who tutored me every day by reading books to me. When I was in the second grade, she said, "Afshin, I want to give you the most important book that you'll ever read in life." As she handed me a small New Testament, she asked me to promise to hold on to it until I was older. 10 years later, one day, as a senior in high school, I used the Lord's name in vain while playing basketball. A guy on the court said, "Hey, that Jesus, whose name you just said, he's my God." As a Muslim, I'd been taught that Jesus was a prophet, so I thought the guy was nuts. A few days later, while watching TV, I stumbled onto a documentary on the life of Jesus, where I heard some worship Jesus as God, and they're called Christians. That afternoon, I found that small New Testament at the bottom of my closet and began to read it. Every day, I'd read under the covers in my bed with a flashlight so my parents wouldn't see what I was doing. Meanwhile, at my high school, a Christian student sat across from me at lunch and told me about Jesus. I debated against him each day. And then at night, I'd go home to read more about Jesus. One day, I got to the book of Romans, and the 3rd chapter completely changed me, my life. I read about a righteousness that comes apart from what I do for God. This righteousness comes as a gift to be received by faith. I was struck by Romans 3:22, which says that the righteousness comes to all who believe. I thought I was born a Muslim, and I would always be a Muslim. But that verse said that this righteousness was for anyone who believes. not an anticipity. A couple weeks later, a guy invited me to an evangelistic crusade where I heard the gospel presented and came to faith in Christ. The implications of my commitment to Christ hit me on the way home. What am I going to tell my family? What am I going to tell my father? I decided to hide my newfound faith. I would sneak out to church, intercept mail coming from the church I was attending, and keep my Bible hidden. But my dad found out. He'd seen my Bible, and he'd also seen other evidence in my life. He set me down and said, "Son, what is going on? There's something different about you." I said, "Dad, I'm a Christian." "Option," he said, "if you're going to be a Christian, then you can no longer be my son." Everything in my flesh wanted to say, "Forget it, I'll be a Muslim." I didn't want to lose the relationship with my dad. So even I was surprised when I said, "Dad, if I have to choose between you and Jesus, then I choose Jesus. If I have to choose between my earthly father and my heavenly father, then I choose my heavenly father." My father disowned me on the spot. I went upstairs to my room, and in the defining moment of my life, I said, "God, how could you do this to me? How could you take my dad away from me?" The Lord led me to where Jesus says, "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Do you think that I came to bring peace? To the earth, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a person's enemies will be those of their own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's Matthew 10:32-39. That's when I first understood what it means to be a follower of Christ. I had to lose my father to follow Christ. But I learned firsthand, when you lose your life, you find it. God gave me a roommate in college who also had been a former Muslim and had been disowned by his father. After college, God led me to seminary and eventually to a position as a college pastor. For 15 years, I traveled all over the United States, preached the gospel, and saw Muslims come to faith in Christ. Now I have partnered with a ministry that reaches into Iran with the gospel and have had the privilege of training and equipping Iranian pastors, helping to spread the gospel in the same nation from which my family came. I now pastor a church in Frisco, Texas. I called them today, where I get to weekly remind people to count the cost of following Christ. I'm thrilled to say that my relationship with my dad has been restored, and I continue to pray for his salvation daily. There is a huge difference between being a follower of Christ and merely giving mental assent to the truth about Jesus. The call of Christ isn't simply be believe the right things about Jesus, but follow me is Jesus' word, command. Follow me. And following Jesus is defined by losing your life. When we lose our lives, God will leverage our lives for his glory and for others to know Jesus. There is no greater joy and fulfillment in life than this. Today's true story. Two of my favorite. When Jesus walked on the earth and spoke with women and men and revealed to them through who he was, revealed to them his knowledge of them, his understanding, the wisdom. And they too came to know. And I'll share their stories in a minute. And let's see if a song comes for us. If this thing comes on. Come out of darkness into the light.
There was a man who was owned by his money. He was as rich as could be. But deep in his heart was a voice that was crying, telling him he wasn't free. When he questioned the master concerning his father, he answered to give breath away. Thank you.
only Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life.
But the final decision to follow the Lord can shatter a mold of my old ways.
Probably the most important words that God wrote. In the beginning was the living Word, and the living Word was with God, and the living Word was God. The Father, the Son are one with the Holy Spirit. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so he came into the world that was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, the Jewish nation, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, he gave the power to become born again, children of God. Even to them that believe, turn and rely on him. For the living Word in the beginning was the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth and mankind. In the beginning, God said, let us, the Father, this living Word, the Lord God, creator, and the Holy Spirit, that the Lord God, when he formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, the Holy Spirit. And today we need to listen to Jesus when he says, come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace, a right relationship with the only true God. Jesus said before he went to the cross, why did he go? He came to bear our sin on his own body, on the tree, that we might die to sin and live unto righteousness, God's righteousness to receive from the living word who became flesh. And lived among us for a time, full of grace and truth. Grace, the living word, creator of heaven and earth, came to give us the grace, the love, and the relationship that we need in order to live. We are born spiritually dead in our sin, and only Jesus, who bore our sin on his own body on the tree, to take our sin, when we turn to him, we are forgiven, cleansed, delivered from darkness, healed in our souls, our hearts, minds, and wills, become once again being born of the Holy Spirit. We will be taking a short break. Stay tuned. Be right back.
What if there were a super tiny device that could diagnose the brain and is smaller than a single human hair? What if you could see inside the brain to help an epilepsy patient during surgery or to help the fight against Parkinson's disease? Dr. Patricia Broderick is proud to announce the Broderick Probe, a biomedical and electronic breakthrough. Imagine a probe to help with the understanding and potential cure of brain-related diseases. To learn more, listen live to the Easy Sense Radio Show with host Dr. Broderick, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, on the Bold Brave Media Network and TuneIn Radio. And to help support the Broderick Foundation, please go to EasySense.com and learn how, with your help, we can fight these horrific brain disorders. That's EasySense.com to learn more and help support the Broderick Foundation. Author, radio show host, and coach John M. Hawkins reveals strategies to help gain perspective, build confidence, find clarity, achieve goals. John M. Hawkins' new book, Coached to Greatness, Unlock Your Full Potential with Limitless Growth, published by iUniverse. Hawkins reveals strategies to help readers accomplish more. He believes the book can coach them to greatness. Hawkins says that the best athletes get to the top of their sport with the help of coaches, mentors, and others. He shares guidance that helps readers reflect on what motivates them, rediscover and assess their core values, philosophies, and competencies, find settings that allow them to be the most productive, and track their progress towards accomplishing goals. Listen to John Hawkins' My Strategy, Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio.
You're listening to the truth, spoken in love for you, and it's the truth because it's God's word. God is not a man that he should lie. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Remember in Isaiah, he says here, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. And God says, Isaiah, that he will bring people to himself through his only begotten Son, Jesus. People from the east, the west, the north, the south. Right now, by the working of his Holy Spirit, in some areas of the world, he is revealing himself through dreams and visions, possibly in the Middle East, the Western Asian countries, and others where they only know the name Jesus and most, the only thing they know about him is that he came and was a prophet. And so he reveals himself to those who do not have the truth spoken to them. Jesus prayed for those who were listening to him. For the first years he was on earth, before he bore our sin, before he took our death and rose from the death, from the grave. He arose by the power of God. And today he lives to offer unto all who will come, listen, follow me, Jesus says. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Your hearts, minds will have peace. Peace with a right relationship with the living God. And be able to receive peace from him in our needs, in whatever our time of need is. When we take our needs to him, and he grants us his peace. My favorite story of a woman in John 4. Jesus came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat at the well, and it was about the sixth hour, noon. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, asks drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. From where then do you have living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank himself here and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life." The woman said unto him, "Sir, Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come to draw here. Jesus said unto her, Go, call your husband, and come. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, You have said well that you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the man you are living with is not your husband. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship not. You do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him, to know him, love him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah, when he comes, which is called Christ, when he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak with you am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seeks you, or why talk with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Jesus. In the meantime, while the disciples, they asked Jesus, did he want to have some food? And Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know not of. Jesus said other place, For my food is to do the will of my Father. My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not, there are yet 4 months and then comes harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. For as the people from the town came to Jesus, he said those words, for he knew that they were ready to hear and listen to him, to receive the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the only Lord God and Savior. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come to him, they sought him that he would stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, teaching them. And many more believed because of his own words. And said unto they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of your saying, but we ourselves know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." I lived in Okinawa 5 years, and then we were in the United States 3, and then we went to Japan 2 years. What a wonderful time Jesus gave me to share his name and his life with those who had not heard of him. And then we went back to Okinawa for 5 more years. And as the time came for us to leave there, I'll share a song. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard the Master saying, "Come to the well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul." Amen. And he did, and he has, and he will. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest, my life. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what comes, rely on Jesus and know him in spirit and in truth, and you will have life." In John chapter 11 is probably more well known than the woman. Jesus had some close friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus became very sick and died. And Jesus did not immediately go to Mary and Martha. He said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Later, he said to them, "Let us go now into Judea." His disciples said to him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and you were going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he does not stumble, because he has the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him." He said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep." Jesus said plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad I was not there so that you would come to believe. Let us go to him." And while they came, Martha met Jesus and said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, he will give it to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Martha said, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe you this?" She said to him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And they went to the tomb. And Jesus said to them, "Take away the stone." Martha said that by this time he stinks. He has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Said I to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you sent me." So Jesus called with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a cloth and napkin. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." In the first year that I knew Jesus, Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit. We are born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And when Jesus bore our sin, died, was buried, and rose from the dead, he gave to his disciples then, and he gives to each person who listens and says yes, when Jesus calls, "Come, listen, follow me." Jesus gives the Holy Spirit of the living God to be within us. Christ in us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when I read these words where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. and whoever lives now and believes in me shall never die. And the Holy Spirit said, Jesus' teaching about these words was that we all were dead. From birth, without the Holy Spirit of God, separated from God, spiritual death. He who comes to Jesus, though we were dead, yet shall we live. Born again by the Holy Spirit, born anew, redeemed, children of God, and we shall never die. We have a body, but we are a soul. The soul uses the heart to feel, uses the brain to think, but the soul is the reality of us. And when our souls are separated from God, we are spiritually dead, literally dead. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who trusts in me shall pass out of death into life. Jesus says, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. If anyone listens to my words, he does not come into condemnation, but passes from death to life. Now, again, Jesus' invitation for all who will. Whosoever will may come, and whoever comes, he will not turn away. Come, Jesus says, listen and follow me. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, peace with God, a relationship of life, now and for all eternity. Ask him to give you his forgiveness for not listening before, for going your own way, for all the sins. Jesus, forgive all who come to you and receive you, Jesus, as Lord, God, and Savior. I thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your love for all.
This has been The Truth Spoken in Love with your host, Myra Jean. The Truth versus the Deception. Tune in each week for the answers on Myra Jean's The Truth Spoken in Love.